This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. 1 hour to go in the big show, two in the books, and 60 minutes still on the schedule. Before we get out of here and turn it over
to Fred, on
this
show.
AJ Jung and the Blitz. That's right, we shop at Target. So we've got some calls still lined up that we got to get through here. And one of them that people have been clamoring for, my prediction is still alive thanks to the Rams of Los Angeles.
You're the first person I thought of when...
Yeah, I watched that entire game to make sure that they didn't pee down their leg late and let the Saints get a win they didn't deserve. But now, 1-1 in the four games I was talking about with two tough ones still on the schedule. And lo and behold, the man that created the fleur-de-lis, or maybe not, but he thinks so. Clarence is on hold. Everybody's clamoring for you. Clarence, what's up? How you feeling now?
What up, guys? What's going on?
What's up, man? First of all, my hat's off to you for calling in. It would have been easy to be like, oh, I was busy this week and couldn't make the show because the Saints lost. But you are here, so I appreciate you stepping up on a week after a loss.
I've been calling in since the first week when we started going to, and I'm not going to stop.
I like it.
Win, loss, even, it doesn't matter.
I'll deal with it.
It's all good.
I don't like it, Clarence, but I'll deal with it. So basically, first and foremost, before we get to the Aints, the drive there and back was safe and good, and everything was good for Thanksgiving in Louisiana?
Okay, the drive there was good, Thanksgiving was good, the drive back was hellish.
Did you get a ticket?
It could take no way on God green earth for me to go from New Orleans to Lake Charles in 6.5 hours.
Oh, my God. Did you cut through Chicago? What the hell?
It was, my friend says there's no such thing as unnecessary traffic. No, there's such a thing as unnecessary traffic.
Sure there is. Drive Highway 59 after 4 o'clock.
When there is not one wreck, nothing going on, and people are just driving slow and stupid for no reason at all, yeah.
That's a good reason to never go back to Louisiana, Clarence. So what happened to your Saints?
Oh, you know, I give it all to the Rams. They're a very good team that people are sleeping on, and Jared Goff, he's the future right there. People were doubting him at his first season, but that kid could sling it around. And I'm not going to even blame it on injuries or anything because we were still in the game. It was down by 6 points. It still could have made something happen. But, you know, the Rams are a very good team with a very good defense and a very good offense. And hopefully we probably see them in the playoffs somewhere down the line.
Oh, I'd be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, and Clarence, correct me if I'm wrong, but Breeze only had like 90 yards as they started the second half. I mean, he was not Drew Breeze-ish, though he finished with 246. It was basically... three and out with a cloud of dust. They just kept handing the ball off, but Breeze wasn't doing anything aerial until the second half, basically late in the game.
Yeah, and you got to give that to St. Louis as well. By the time halftime came, the time of possession was 3-1. It was like 25 minutes to like 7 or 8 minutes going towards St. Louis where they kept the ball, they did what they had to do and, you know, kept it away. But I believe there's such a thing as a good loss,
okay,
depending on what it happens. And this is a good loss. It gives you a chance to correct the things that you were doing wrong, reset, regroup. You're coming off a high with eight game win streak, so you think you know your sugar honey iced tea don't stink. And all of a sudden you get this loss, and you can reflect. Find out what you did wrong and go into the self-stretch trying to win the NFC South and hopefully get a number 2, 3, or 4 seed.
All right. Well, hey, you're still in it, and that's a good thing because with all the crazy topsy-turvy way the NFL has gone this year, you're still sitting in a pretty good spot.
Here's why I feel bad for Clarence and Saints fans, because that loss only legitimizes what a lot of people have been saying, which is the Saints really haven't beaten anyone all year. They had the one win against the Panthers. which, you know, the Panthers are somehow staying, you know, as bad as they've looked at times. They're 8-3 along with the Saints. All of a sudden, the NFC South is a really good division with three really good teams. It wasn't so a couple of weeks ago, it felt like. But their three losses are to teams that are in the upper echelon right now in the NFL. They only have one win out of their eight wins against a team that would be considered in the upper echelon, and that's Carolina, their first win that started the streak. Dolphins aren't that good. Lions aren't that good. Packers aren't good. Bears aren't good. Bucks
well,
aren't good.
Well, they beat Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers.
Bills aren't that good, and the Redskins are good. I mean, the Redskins are obviously beatable.
I think the Redskins is a good win for them.
But the Redskins are 5-6.
Right, but that doesn't make them a...
So their three losses this year are to...
New England.
Minnesota, who's 9-2.
New England,
9-2, and Los Angeles is 8-3. So the Saints have proven that basically, other than their win against Carolina, who's also 8-3, they've beat up seven teams that are 5-6, 6-5, 4-7. They're not good teams.
Well, flip side is you're supposed to beat those teams, so you can say that. But essentially what you're saying is, look, you're an average playoff team. You're not a championship contender.
They could get, expect an early exit in the playoffs,
when
basically.
I got the angry phone calls because I said they were going to lose three of their next four, it was because of that very reason. Because, look, they're doing what they're supposed to do, but their peak of their schedule with tough opponents is coming up, and I want to see what they can do.
Well, you may look to have been very prophetic because they play the Panthers next.
Yep.
I just mentioned 8-3, but their one good win this year is against that team.
Where is that game?
That is at home.
Okay.
And then they play the Falcons. So, again, another good football team that we're going to see what they're made of. Falcons are 7-4, so it's not like they're a 6-5, 5-6, barely hanging in there kind of team. And then the Jets, then the Falcons again, and then they close with the Bucs. So they've got the Falcons twice and the Panthers to prove to people that this is a legit, that what they've done that in that eight-game win streak is legit.
Did you watch a Carolina game at all yesterday?
I did not.
U-G-L-Y.
Yeah.
Lucky they beat the Jets.
Wow.
So they better get it going, especially when they're playing in New Orleans. That one worries me. But that was the one I flip-flopped. I thought they'd lose to the Redskins, beat Carolina, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's, like I said, you're going to look prophetic because, man, I don't know that they might beat the Panthers. Who knows? Falcons, I'm not so sure about, because that's on the road.
I think they lose both games to Atlanta.
Yeah?
I do.
Okay. Yep. All right, guys, tonight it's going down. This is the last time you're going to hear me tell you about it, so you better take out a paper and pencil and write this down or type it into your phone. 1901 Taft in Midtown. That's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. Right there in the heart of Midtown, 1901 Taft. Meet me out there. I'm going to be there about 30 minutes before kickoff for Monday Night Football. Come out and enjoy the game with me. Let's hang out. Let's have a beer. Let's have a chicken fried steak. I'm still torn, Nick. I've got to flip a coin maybe. A Himalayan Heat Burger, chicken fried steak. Maybe Haas will be nice and make me both, and I'll split it with somebody. I don't know. Quesadilla is made with naan bread. Whatever you want, they've got it, because it's a mix of both Southern comfort and Indian food. The best butter chicken in Houston, if that's your thing. You like chicken curry? Get it. It's really good. If not, get the chicken fried steak. Like I said, it's really good. What I love about the chicken fried steak, they don't make it until you order it. It's not battered. It's not sitting there. The meat is locally sourced. Everything is fresh and delicious. I've been hyping this up for a while now, and the more of you that go, the more of you report back to me and tell me just how good the food is. Haas and his crew do a fantastic job of perfecting the Indian food recipes over the years that have been passed down in his family, as well as coming up with some of your Southern comfort favorites, like fresh chicken fried steak made when you order it. Get out there, 1901 Taft in Midtown. They've got a lunch special going on right now between 11 and 3, Monday through Friday. Tell them you listen to ESPN 97.5. Get a half-pound hamburger with fries for $8.99. You can't beat that. Full-service bar. You can have it delivered to the house via DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub. No reason for you not to go out and eat Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. 1901 Taft in Midtown. It's going down tonight. Meet me out there. If you need more info, Facebook, CNI713 on Facebook. Check it out. Whatever you do, take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world with Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen. There's nothing like it.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Guys, celebrate the Astros World Series Championship forever with the incredible audiobook History Earned, a retelling of the Astros' magical journey to the 2017 World Series title. It's incredibly affordable right now at just $13.99 with $1 from every sale going to Hurricane Harvey Relief. It's narrated by Charlie Palillo, written by Chris Campisi. It's perfect for any Astros fan and easily downloadable to any laptop or smart device. Gift card options are available as well. Just go to historyearned.com to download your copy today.
It's a journey.
It is a journey. Could they have come up? I think the first chapter is just the title of the book. History Earned, a retelling of the Astros' magical journey to the 2017 World Series title.
And when you thought that the Dodgers were going to win it, it didn't happen.
It's not how it goes.
No, okay. It's narrated by Charlie Palillo.
I actually like Charlie's voice, so I'm not going to hate him.
I didn't say I don't like it.
Oh.
I'm used to it.
Didn't you, though?
No.
You're used to it. What does that mean?
Is this news for you? Because this is out there now.
Uh-oh. What'd you
Todd do? Todd Archer, ESPN staff writer, found out that Jason Witten is not interested in coaching the Tennessee Volunteers. He went there. At some point, he may like to coach, but it's not now.
Yeah, somebody had texted asking about that. That wasn't really news to me. I think that's one of those things where you kick the tires.
They literally had to go ask him.
Just because I looked at a Ferrari and walked around it doesn't mean I was buying a Ferrari.
Well, it means you're Josh Reddick.
Yeah. Somebody texted, so I have an interesting question. We'll be the judge of that, sir. Does Dez play for the Cowboys next year? How much is the penalty to cut him, and how much money will they save by cutting him?
They're not going to cut him.
They're not. I know this year
his way out, but he ain't going.
This year was like $25 million, $27 million, something like that. Next year is $8 million, and the year after that is $4 million in dead money if you cut him. So if the Cowboys are willing to take an $8 million hit, why would they cut him to begin with? I mean, why get rid of one of your weapons?
Why would why would you even think? So it's Dez's fault now?
Yeah.
With Zeke out?
Come yeah.
Come on, man.
No. I mean, Dez may not be as good as he was at his peak. How old is he now? Is he in his 30?
I don't think he's
30. 29. Yeah. He's 29. Still. I mean, in football years, that's probably starting the downside, I guess, once you hit 30.
Think so?
Yeah. They say you're at your athletic peak physically at 27. So you stay at that peak for about 3 years. In baseball, that was actually the magic number in baseball. When you were drafting fantasy, if you were really looking, like if you were torn, I remember back in the day, I was always torn between Raul Mondesi or Manny Ramirez. Whenever you're having to make decisions like that, you would look at, well, how old is the guy? And that magic number of 27, I would always take the guy who was 27 years old because that's kind of when you peak physically for an athlete. I don't know why that is, but it's a thing. Huh. So, I mean, at 29, he'll probably be 30 next year. I don't think they cut him next year. But, no, I mean, I don't think you need to eat the $8 million. Going into 2019, if you're going a different direction, maybe. $4 million's not terrible in dead money if you feel like you have something better. But, no, I wouldn't absorb the $8 million. I think he can still make a contribution to that team.
For sure. So, before we get to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Nick and I were checking this out. We were talking about this that I saw this weekend. I don't know if you caught this or not. Alabama's basketball team finished the game with three players playing 3-on-5, okay, because there was a fight and then some injuries happened. And Avery Johnson's the coach of Alabama. It was bizarre. But you know what's even crazier? Potential top 10 pick Colin Sexton scored 23 of his 40 points while he was going 3-on-5. He was one of the three.
Nice.
That dude can play.
Yeah, if you can put that up against five.
Jeez.
That's not bad. Did they go, did they play him zone or man up?
I think they played both at the same time.
You're kind of an a-hole coach if you know the other team's got three guys and you just go man up, right?
Yeah. No.
At least
with
the
zone, you're basically giving them the outside shot. If you go man up, then that's you've got two extra defenders to always double the ball and double the best shooter that doesn't have the ball.
Dude, I almost wouldn't want to.
That's not fair.
It's not. And I almost wouldn't want to be on defense if I was Minnesota.
Why?
It just would feel weird because anything that he makes is going to make him look so good as an offensive player.
That's true.
And it's going to make you look terrible as a defensive player.
That's a great point because now you guys look – you let a guy put up 20 on
like,
you?
Like, I'd be
fouling.
Like, this dude did put up 23.
I'd be fouling.
Check me out of this game. I don't even want to play.
Five guys.
Sharara, that's 5,000. 2 minutes, you're out.
Bye.
It's 4-on-3 now.
Yeah, now you can't blame me. I mean, that's unreal. Like, the entire bench was ejected after there was a brawl in the second half. And then two guys got hurt. So they had to play 3-on-5. And the crazy stat, too, besides the amount of points he scored, they outscored Minnesota, coached by Rick Pitino's son, by the way. They outscored Minnesota by like 12 points and made it a game. And the final was like 89-85. It was like a four-point game playing 3-on-5 for most of the second half. Just nuts.
That's crazy.
I couldn't believe when I saw that one, but I had to mention that. And then, of course, the crazy world of the NFL. You see the fight between the Raiders and the Broncos?
I did.
I forgot. We didn't even talk about that.
Crabtree and Aqib Talib.
Aqib Talib
snatched another chain.
People are saying Aqib Talib's new nickname is Two Chains because he got Crabtree both times.
Dude, somebody tweeted out a picture of a broadcast showing the fight, and down below it said, has snatched two chains from Michael Crabtree like it's a stat they're keeping now. They noted it on the broadcast. It was like, really? That's in your player? That's going to be on the back of your football card? Like, fun fact.
That's the kind of thing chain you snatcher. Hear about in the NBA, or remember what Ariza did with Dallas, but you hear about it and go, that's the kind of thing that could like come back to life at the parking garage or outside the locker rooms. Literally watching it live, I said, oh, those two guys are meeting in a hallway somewhere down underneath. They need to squash it, because if you listen to both coaches, Del Rio says he hasn't talked to Crabtree yet, but you just can't put yourself selfishly above your team, but it was personal. And then when you listen to the Broncos, they were like, oh, it was so personal, you know, that we knew it was coming. Well, then have a talk with your player before the game and realize Aqib Talib's far too valuable to lose for an entire game because they got some beef that they haven't squashed since the last time they matched up.
And I think Aqib Talib was making the argument that, you know, it started on a previous before the fight happened, and now the NFL's probably, I don't know if they've come down on some sort of ruling. Now Crabtree's probably going to get suspended. You got Amari Cooper, who's in the concussion protocol. Now you're the Raiders, one game behind the Chiefs, and you don't have your two key receivers. So it's a bad situation for the Raiders.
Yeah, and then Cooper got knocked out after that with a high blow to the head. He got knocked out of the game. So now you lose Cooper and Crabtree, yet they won the game, which they had to do to stay relevant.
Right.
And then from a Denver perspective, with nothing going right and firing coordinators and trying to figure stuff out, and then Paxton Lynch pulled a hamstring and he was out. But you normally rely on your defense, and then your top two corners were both out of the game, and Denver couldn't stop the passing game even with those two guys out for Oakland. It hurt both teams.
It's crazy. The whole fight itself, when you watch it, did you see, like, people, when Crabtree was on the ground, there were like five Broncos around him. One of them was grabbing his feet.
Yeah, I saw, like, one of them grab his feet. And the other thing is, never ever is it wise, one, if you're Michael Crabtree, to take your helmet off. And two,
I think it got pulled off. Talib pulled it off and then threw it at the stands, like almost throwing it into the stands.
But then to throw haymakers at Talib where he could have broken a hand if he would have connected,
smart.
Just stupid.
To me, though, I saw somebody either post about it or blog about it, but it was like, why don't you take your helmet off and Aqib Talib and fight the dude? I mean, if you hate him that much and you're the one over there yanking chains off and throwing bombs, take your helmet off and make it fair and just see who the better man is. Settle it.
I mean, I endorse what he did. Don't do that. You could have gotten your butt kicked by Crabtree. Keep your helmet on.
No. Be a man. Like, you're like, no. If I can wear a coat of armor in a fight.
No, I thought it was funny, too, especially when you see somebody punching a helmet. It's like, bro, don't do
just
that.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. That's why it's good that Oakland has – they're going to Vegas or wherever they're going. But with the tunnels for both teams on the same side, Talib had to leave going directly through the Oakland sideline.
Yeah, and he was
so
jawing the whole time.
So Marshawn Lynch escorted him to again play peacemaker, only this time he didn't get in trouble for it. But he escorted Talib to the tunnel behind the Raiders bench. It's like, man, nothing screams this could get out of hand in a hurry more than that.
So. Yeah, I would hate to be the guy that has to calm down Aqib Talib, because you know he ain't calming down when he's on that high. He's just not.
No.
I was looking up Dez Bryant's stats. So last year he had 800 receiving yards and the 8 touchdowns in 13 games. So he missed 3 games. So when you're, if you're on pace guy, I mean, he probably would have caught close to 1,000 yards, maybe. Okay. And maybe 9-10 touchdowns, which isn't great when you consider that, you know, he was putting up 1,200 yards between 2012 and 2014. Of course, he had the down year in 2015 when he missed a bulk of the season. This year, not so good. 578 yards, four touchdowns. Probably getting double teamed a lot. I don't watch every Cowboys game, but my guess is he's getting doubled a lot. Yeah. And with Ezekiel Elliott out, it's even more now that they don't have to sell out for the run. That they know, okay, yeah, you know what? You don't have Ezekiel Elliott. We don't have to. We don't have to sell out for the run exclusively. We could double Dez Bryant if we wanted to, and he's probably getting doubled anyways. But don't sleep on the fact that Dak Prescott isn't playing as well as he was last year. He's in the bottom third of QBs this year. He's just not as good as he was. Yeah. Look up his QBR. Look up his points. He's hovering around 20. That would put him in the bottom third.
Game, that's a big factor, and they can specialize on the pass a little bit more. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people completely giving up on him, too. I wouldn't go that far, but it's definitely been a struggle for him.
Yep. Prescott's not playing as well. That has something to do with it.
And breaking news, you just got fired.
Sweet.
Yeah. Just okay. So you know.
Okay.
Adrian Wojnarowski, easy for me to say, is reporting. David Fizdale fired as the Memphis Grizzlies coach, according
Damn
to ESPN.
It.
So no more comparisons with you and the Memphis Grizzlies coach.
First, I lost my Sunday show.
Now you lost the head coaching gig.
Now I lost my head coaching gig. What's next? Are you going to tell me that the third base reunion tour is off?
You're going to be writing novels narrated by Charlie Palillo.
That could be next, actually, yeah.
All right, we got a half hour to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz. We still got plenty more to get to, and if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter as we're all there. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. I'll be by the quicker, whipping
it through high dive. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. And on ESPN 97.5.com. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Before we get into anything else, just want to get you real quick and tell you that I'm a huge fan of Window World Houston. Not only do they provide premium quality replacement windows at a great price, but their energy-saving windows are made right here in the U.S. of A., and they carry the good housekeeping seal of approval. We know now that temperatures are changing and it's getting a little colder outside, and you worry about your energy bills and your heating bills. Well, Window World has become the country's number one window company by offering a lifetime warranty, a higher quality product, a lower price, and it starts at just $189 a window, plus $45 for Solar Zone Low E, which meets Texas energy regulations. It's the first step in reducing your energy bills. Just contact Window World of Houston. All you got to do is call them. They'll do a free written estimate. They'll come to you. They'll see what you got. They'll tell you how they can make it better for you with better windows, and they'll walk away. No hassles, no high pressure. It's a free estimate. You got nothing to lose. And if you want them, you just call them. They come back. They do all the work. It's all top quality, and it's all going to be done probably in less than a day's time, and you're going to be happy as your energy bills go down and the value of your house goes up. Call 713-439-1172 or log on to windowworldhouston.com. That's 713-439-1172 or windowworldhouston.com. Window World, simply the best for less. Give them a call. All right, so we're back with the final half hour of The Usual Suspects. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel right here on ESPN 97.5. We were talking about the fact that you got fired in Memphis.
Yeah.
So now the name of all names is going to resurface. J.B. Bickerstaff will be promoted to Memphis's interim head coach. Where have we seen this before, you ask? In your own backyard.
Huh?
Maybe this time J.B. won't go on a drinking binge on video for social media at Dwight Howard's party with the players so that they will respect him this time instead of thinking, yeah, he's just one of the guys. That might be the first step in authoritative management of an NBA basketball team. Just throwing it out
was
there.
Was that ever made
dude.
Public that he did that?
No, he was dancing. He was dancing. Yep. Was he actually drinking, though, on the video?
You could see all of it. Yeah, and it was all over social media. And it was, he was done before he even got started because he's a great dude. He's a great basketball mind. His dad was an unbelievable coach for years, Bernie Bickerstaff.
Yep. Bernie was the man.
Yeah, and he deserves a head coaching job. But unfortunately, the minute that happened, and especially with the players that the Rockets had on the roster at that time, they were like, oh, you're just one of the guys. So we don't have to respect the authority there. We can just shoot it around and talk to you like you're one of the guys.
The timing was bad, too, because the dysfunction in the locker room was an all-time high. Maybe a close to an all-time
high. That was when the line was clearly drawn in the sand between Dwight and James, and it was getting worse, not better. And it's every day it was, whose team are you on, Dwight or James?
And when you have that kind of riff in the locker room between your two superstars, that more than any other time is when you need to be an authority figure.
Correct.
And be able to handle that and have the respect of both sides.
Did look like a fun party, though. Yeah. I probably would have been.
Yeah, he rented out raising some big old building. Did you say raise the roof? Side.
Yeah. You don't do that?
You're old ass. You're raising the roof?
Yeah, him and Cynthia Cooper.
Cooper wore that thing
yep.
out. You know, it's a surprise.
It was like after
me.
Every basket, wasn't it?
This
oh,
is gonna,
no
white,
question.
White people are going to think I'm racist for saying this, but usually it's white people that ruin stuff. Right? Like, I mean, let's be real.
Like the dab.
We've ruined the dab. That was young white kids,
the
though.
The Dougie.
We ruined the Dougie. We ruined the Macarena. But I think Cynthia Cooper single-handedly ruined Raise the Roof. I think she gets all the credit. Even though you would see, like, old white people like, Raise the Roof. Like, no, all right, we're not doing that anymore. That's when you know, like, a trend has died when, like, sassy white girls start doing it.
Okay.
You know, when they're check me out, I'm dabbing. It's like, all right, well, we're not dabbing anymore. You've ruined that. At one point, I made a list of everything we as white people had ruined. It's pretty long. Macarena,
but it was
Ice
actually
Cube.
Just foreshadowing because she was just setting the table for when Michael Jordan would tell us that the roof is.
I wonder if I could find
ceiling.
That list. The roof is the ceiling.
No, the roof is the ceiling.
Raise the ceiling.
Yep.
You're raising the roof. I wonder if I could find the list. It's pretty lengthy. I had like the Macarena, Ice Cube, N.W.A. ruined by white people.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a pretty lengthy.
Extensive.
I took some time.
Okay.
Really did. Like, I'm going to get all kind of angry texts now. It's all right. My troll's going to go nuts, too.
Okay.
You want to take Quentin's call?
Yeah, we should.
Let's
Quentin
do it.
Called once before and got caught up, so he called back. We appreciate that. Talking Texas A&M. What's up, Quentin?
Hey, what's going on, man? Good show, guys.
Dude, long time no talk, man. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, you know, first of all, I'm surprised to hear Barry talking about Christmas. Cause I didn't think black Jewish guys celebrate Christmas. But anyway.
So I'm black, I'm Jewish, gay, I'm all that. All right, cool.
Hey, first of all, what do you guys think about him firing Kevin Sumlin? Because, you know, first of all, I think he only had one more year on his contract, and I think he was going to be get paid, what, $4 or $5 million, something like that. Why would you fire the guy and then pay him $10 million? And I think the name that everybody's coming up with is Jimbo Fisher, which, hell, his team did worse than A&M this year. Why the hell would you?
Well, but Quentin, think about this. Florida State was a top five ranked team. They were number three in the nation. Their first game of the year was against Alabama. Not only did they lose the game, but they lost their star quarterback in the process, and that's why they've had a really bad record this year. Otherwise, Jimbo Fisher has put together, look, from a recruiting standpoint, he recruits Florida well, and they're competitive, and they're ranked in the top five. That's hard to complain about.
Well, also, if you want to say that, we can say A&M also, when they were routing UCLA in the first game, they had a 34-point lead before Starkle got hurt. And then, you know, said that they were actually going to do pretty good. They were beating UCLA, was ranked number three at the time, I believe, or they were pretty highly ranked at the time.
UCLA was possibly ranked, but, I mean, look, you're comparing losing to Alabama and losing to UCLA?
I mean, I get his point. He's saying that because if you look at their record and you flip the one loss at the beginning of the year for the Aggies, right? Think about that for a minute. They're 7-5. If they don't collapse in that UCLA game and they win that, they're 8-4 with their losses being to number one Alabama, a top four team in Auburn, LSU, and Mississippi State. And that's their four, and that's always been their four losses, it feels like. Now, every once in a while, they'll beat Mississippi State here or there, but they seem to regularly lose to Alabama and LSU, which is the two things you got to get over the hump in the SEC if you're going to be taken seriously. But he's right. That one win made or broke the season for the Aggies, because even going into the LSU game, they're what? If they win that game, they're 8-3?
Yeah. But this
there's
goes
probably
back to a conversation
not as much
that you
talk
and I had
about
last week. What's the difference between A&M and OSU and Oklahoma State? And it's basically expectations.
It is.
You know, the fact of the matter is that everybody that's an A&M fan or an alum believes that they should be competing not only for the conference championship but for national titles every single year, whereas Oklahoma State, if they're competitive and they give Oklahoma a game, Mike Gundy's going to keep his job.
But going 4-4 in the SEC is going to get you fired if you're A&M.
I can see
no
that.
Matter what. It was the win or lose to UCLA going 4-4. So you've got to beat the Mississippi States of the world.
The other thing that you got to factor in Sumlin's cases, you consistently got top five recruiting classes
and
in the country
nothing
and
with
won
it.
The state and
lost,
did nothing with it. Correct.
Lost. I mean, you know, you looked at, I talked about they should have had Stidham from Auburn, the quarterback that's right now is, you know, the toast of the town all over.
Yep.
And they chose not to pursue him and went with Starkle instead, the guy that he beat. So it's I was thinking about that earlier in the season where, man, if they win that UCLA game, maybe this is a different year for Sumlin.
I like Kevin Sumlin.
But
I give him
I think
credit
this
as a
is
recruiter,
the right move.
But, I, yeah, you know
it's
what?
It's time.
Okay.
Time to move on. He's had an opportunity. He's gone through several recruiting classes. The fact of the matter is he's not getting the job done without Johnny Manziel.
I really do. I think that's the biggest issue. You've done everything from the standpoint of recruiting and facilities, which was a big hot button that he got to A&M. All those things fine, but how it translates from recruiting to getting him to play on the field has been huge.
And listen to what the quarterbacks that did leave said about what was going on in that locker room, that there was this culture that they didn't like, because once Manziel came and went, he created a culture, divisiveness in that locker room. That's why a lot of these guys left. They didn't like it. So,
and that's just the quarterback. Look at the receiver situation too, when they had that whole
thing. And that's a lot on Kevin Sumlin and his coaching staff.
All right, we got one segment to go before you turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. So don't go anywhere if you want to chime in like Corey wants to, and we're going to get to him next. You still have time, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call, text, or tweet. Here for you, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Need a new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for one final segment of The Usual Suspects on a Monday, coming out of a holiday weekend where there was so much going on and we covered a ton of ground. I feel like we still had so much more we could have gotten to in this small window of time, but we did our best for you so far to get it all out there for you. News of the day, obviously, with all the hirings and firings in college football. Jason Witten not taking the Tennessee job and leaving the Cowboys. Shocker. The Buckeyes out of Ohio State are not going to investigate thoroughly the identity of the unknown photographer that took out JT Barrett. That was a bizarre deal.
That was weird.
And then JT Barrett going into detail and actually showing and explaining like where the bench was, where the cart was, where the photog was, his knee buckling.
Standing up during the press conference,
yeah,
that's
weird.
Always awkward, yeah.
But that was crazy. So we're waiting on a poll to come out tomorrow night in college football to see who the new Fresh Four is.
Who you got?
I kinda wanted to ask
you guys,
sorry. But Ohio State over Alabama getting into the college football playoff. As that being a potential possibility.
Ohio State over Alabama?
A two-loss Ohio State team.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
That's just
because, the reason is if Ohio State wins the Big Ten. That's the
reason. Even with the Iowa loss.
Because Alabama's one loss, but they don't win the SEC championship. It's either going to be Georgia or Auburn.
Right.
Clemson's so you don't win.
Miami,
you don't. But, yeah, Clemson probably wins the ACC. Auburn probably wins the SEC. Ohio State probably. But I think right now, my top four, Oklahoma 1, mm-hmm. Clemson 2. I could put Auburn at 3 and Wisconsin 4.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I had them in that order, but
you'd have Wisconsin 3rd, right?
I would have Wisconsin 3rd, and I would have those four teams in it right now. But again, thankfully for the committee, a lot is going to play itself out so that they don't have to. But it could get crazy.
Well, they've got to make the this week's announcement, so they're going to have to come up with something. What is your order?
So what happens if Georgia beats Auburn in
the
SEC?
No, I'm saying for the week.
I know what you're saying. But for the week, I think, honestly, I think
I want you to lie.
No, I think Oklahoma's 1, I think Clemson's 2, I think Wisconsin's 3, and I think Auburn is going to be 4.
Okay. I think the Alabama Ohio State thing, to me, Alabama doesn't have any more games left. Ohio State can still beat Wisconsin.
They're gonna
feel like they're getting screwed.
And with Wisconsin being top four, that's just another feather in their cap. They've won the Big Ten. They beat number four Wisconsin. So you kind of have to take that into consideration.
So you think you'd take Ohio State over Alabama?
No, I'm saying if it happens. I don't know that I would take them, but I mean,
I told you all along Ohio State's going to beat Wisconsin, but I think that's the only chance that you have of getting a Big Ten. Wisconsin winning is the only chance you have of getting a Big Ten team in the final four.
It really pisses me off that they lost that Iowa game, because it makes it so much easier if they don't. Because you can excuse the loss to Oklahoma, because you would have lost to a top four team
early in the season.
Yeah, but you won the Big Ten, and Alabama will say, well, we lost to a top four team in Auburn. True, but you lost going down the stretch, and you didn't even win your conference. And Ohio State could say that. But that Iowa loss could be the difference for them.
And they got pounded in that game.
Yeah, it wasn't close, 55-24. If they beat Wisconsin.
When they beat Wisconsin.
Then I think, that's tough for me to call right now. I don't know.
Tell you what, though,
two really tough teams in the college football playoff.
Yeah, because Auburn probably makes it in. But if they beat Georgia, then I think Alabama's in.
That's where I was going. What happens then if Georgia beats Auburn? We said Auburn could pave their own way, winning their final three games to get in. But if Georgia wins, now there's a split. Each team's won between Georgia and Auburn.
Well, I can tell you what the AP top 25 looks like.
Nope.
All right, Clemson is first, Oklahoma second, Wisconsin third, and Auburn fourth. If it's any indication, Alabama 5, Georgia 6. All right? So if Georgia beats Auburn, do they leapfrog Bama? That's going to be a mess.
See, that's what I'm saying. It could be a really convoluted mess. And here's the other thing. Where's Ohio State in that?
Ohio State is 8th.
So they're 8th now.
Yep.
But if they beat number 3,
yep,
now they've got something to build on and say we can leapfrog, whereas Alabama's done.
If they beat number 3 and Georgia beats number 4, Georgia probably still gets that leapfrog in, but that leaves, do you move Bama up? Miami's ahead of Ohio State. If Miami beats Clemson, my goodness.
It could just get ugly.
This could be so much fun.
That's why I say we need an 8-team playoff.
Stop it.
No, it's never going to be...
I said it a long time ago, and I heard it mentioned again this weekend, and I really still believe in the idea, but I don't see why you can't have – I think I did it on this show. I talked about it on this show when we first started, but I don't see why you can't make every conference champion plus an at-large bid from everyone else. That maybe the highest ranked at large, right? Whether it's
or non-power five,
yeah. Whether it's like I don't know, South Florida or UCF or U of H or whatever. That's your 6th team in, but why not have the Power 5 conference champions goes into the playoffs along with your at-large bid from the field, or the, what is it, group of 5?
Yeah.
Then there's your 6 teams. Why not do that? I don't understand why we have to sit here and argue over which two SEC teams when one of them has 2 losses and the other one, I mean, to me it's pretty clear. If you win your conference, you're the best team in that conference, right?
The only thing you can say about that too is they're all in the same conference, but they don't all play the same schedule. That's where you
I mean, most of it is the conference though.
Yeah. When everybody's bagging on the Wisconsin schedule, it's because the way the schedule comes out year after year, they got the easy road this year.
But if Auburn beats Georgia, Auburn is clearly the best team in the SEC.
Agreed.
Agree?
Agreed.
So why wouldn't they be in the playoffs? Why are we even talking about Alabama when they're not even the best team in their conference?
Year in, year out, do they play the same schedule?
No.
So to get the balance to say...
But you still got to win your schedule to go to the conference championship to beat the team from the other side. East or the West.
I get that. But until there's balance in the conference so that everybody plays the same,
if Oklahoma wins, they're the best team in the Big 12. Yes. If Clemson wins, they're the best team in the ACC. Yes.
You're talking about win the conference championship game?
Yeah. If Wisconsin wins, are they the best team in the Big 10? Yeah. They're undefeated. They played their Big 10 schedule. They beat the best team from the other side. Was it the East or whatever, the North? I don't know what the hell the divisions are in the Big 10. My point is you're getting the best two teams to play each other in the conference championships, especially with the Big 12 now, you know, filing suit and also playing, because the Pac-10 is right now being left out of all of this when they should have a representative in this.
As down as their conference has been, they do have some good teams.
I don't see why.
And you're sold Auburn is clearly better than Auburn, right?
Who?
Is clearly a better team than Auburn. Auburn is clearly a better team than Alabama.
Yeah, they beat them heads up.
Yeah,
straight up.
See, that's my
play them on a neutral field.
Yeah, I look. Bama, I told you 2 weeks ago when they almost lost to Mississippi State that they were vulnerable and that they could probably lose this game. I said it when we got back, when we did that first show, I said, that team is vulnerable. Mississippi State showed that Bama is not untouchable. It took a final miracle drive almost for them to win that game. They're beatable, and they went out and got beat. So, yeah, I do think that on a neutral field, Auburn could beat Alabama this year.
All right, well, before we get out of here, real quick, Corey, we don't want to leave you hanging, so we're going to get you in real quick. You want to talk college football? What's up, Corey? Corey, you there?
Go, Corey.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
How you guys doing?
Good, man. We got to go. We got to go quick. What's up?
We're up against it. Go. What's up, man?
Yeah. Hey, OU guy here. Just want to hear you guys' perspective real quick on you guys are talking about the top four here. What do you guys think?
Well, we lost him. Oh, well. Try again tomorrow,
but
Corey.
I think we covered it. We covered about the top four in Oklahoma, and we said where they are right now and that they should be there. So.
Somebody said, how would you have a 16 playoff? What are you talking about?
Power 5 and 1.
You can have two buys. I think that's his question.
Yeah, well, you still have rankings. I mean, it's still you would still rank the top six.
Yeah.
So when you look at it, yeah, Clemson is number one, OU number two. Those they get buys in the first round. The other two play three, three plays six, four plays five, then you move on.
I never agree with you, so but I understand the logic.
I know. Yeah.
So it would work. You could make it work. All right, well, that wraps up a spirited and sportsy Monday on The Usual Suspects. We're going to be here Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m., right here on ESPN 97.5. Stay tuned next. It's Fred, A.J. Jung, and The Blitz taking you home on a Monday right here on ESPN 97.5. See you tomorrow, guys.
ESPN 97.5.